we're in the middle of a Gemara. The Gemara is talking about there are differences between many different halachas, but we distinguish between karka and metaltalin. Kinyonin. The kinyonin, if I own a house, leave out a house, that's the question. If I own a farm and I want to sell the farm to you, so you require kinyonin karka. If I own an automobile, that's metaltalin, so I have to use kinyonin metaltalin. Kinyonin metaltalin don't work for karka, and kinyonin karka don't work for metaltalin. So there's a din that mechuba l'karka dina k'karka. Mechuba l'karka means if you have a tree that took roots, you planted a tree, the hishrish, or you have vegetables that are growing in the ground. So if hishrish, if it took root, that's called mechuba l'karka dina k'karka. What if you have tolu shel b'sof chibro? You have a lamppost that's cemented into the ground, but it's not really, it didn't take root, or you have a building, a house that's cemented in, but it doesn't grow, there's no hashrasha. So that's a whole sugi over here. What's the din of tolosh el b'sav chibur? Whether din of tolosh or din of mechubur? So the Gemara is saying the different areas of halacha where we distinguish between karka and metaltalin. So here the context is shchita. There was a machlokes between Rebbe and Reb Chiya. That's unusual. Reb Chiya was a Talmud of Rebbe. It's rare to find a machlokes. I don't remember so often a machlokes between Rebbe and his Talmud Reb Chiya. Usually Reb Chiya just says over what Rebbe says. It is a machlokes. What if a person shechts a behema with a knife that's mechuba l'karka? How can you have a knife that's mechuba l'karka? Let's say you have a tree and you have a branch on the tree that's very sharp, or you made it sharp, you sharpen the branch and you shecht the, how can you shecht if the tree is mechuba? I move the neck of the animal, I hold the knife in place, the knife is a branch on the tree, but let's say the bark of the tree, the wood on the side of the tree is very sharp, and I take a chicken, it's easier, I take a behema and I fiddle a behema back and forth. You don't necessarily have to fiddle the knife back and forth, you can fiddle a behema back and forth. So what's the din if you shecht ben mechuba? It's a perfect shechita, but the knife is mechuba. So Rebbe is of the opinion, that's how we paskin, that the shechita is no good, and it's based on the pasuk in the Akedah that when Avraham Avinu was going to shecht his son Yitzchak, it says vayikach hasamacheles lishchetes beno, a macheles means a knife. So just like macheles is betolush, so to shechita always has to be betolush. We're learning out from the Akedah to shechita schulin. That's a question that Taisus raised, and they didn't really answer it. The Gemara says, when you shecht the behema schulin, it doesn't have to be a knife that's mekabel tuma, a knife betzuras kli. Let's say you have a blade of grass or a glass bottle broke. And you have the sharp edge of the glass is very sharp, sharp enough to shecht the chicken or to shecht the behema with. So you don't need a tzuras kli for shechitas chulin. Just need something that's very sharp. On the other hand, for shechitas kochim, it has to be a kli. It has to have the tzuras kli. It has to be able to be mekabel tuma. It's a machloikas and taisvus. The first mishnah in Hizal Mekoyman, whether it has to be a kli shoris or a kli chol, is also acceptable, because the mishnah says, the right hand side of, when you look straight ahead in the Azor, you're looking west. By us, we live west of Eretz Yisrael, so we daven east. So all the shuls are supposed to face east. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the shuls are supposed to face east. But in the Beis Hamikdash, when you're looking straight ahead, it's facing west. So Tzofain is the right hand side of the Azor. We always consider the right side of the body is more important. The Kohanim have to shecht, the Kohanim have to do all the avodas with the right hand. The Kapolas Adam, the Zrikas Adam, everything has to be done with the right hand. If you have a Kohen as a lefty, he can't do Hakrabas Hakrabonis. The Mishnah says like that. So the right hand side of the Azor is called Sof, and that's more important. So the Mishnah says Kochi Kochim. All the Karbonis are divided into two categories. Kochi Kochim means the higher level of Kedusha, and Kochi Makalim is the lower level of Kedusha. So the Kochi Kochim, Ashchitasam at Sofin, have to shecht it in the right hand side of the Azor. Then it contains v'kibol daman b'chlisharis batzof, and the kabbalas adam has to be in a klisharis, a metal. This is a paper cup, that's not acceptable. Plastic cup, not acceptable. Has to be a metal cup, and the kabbalas adam has to be in a klisharis. It doesn't say shchitasim b'chlisharis batzof, it says shchitasim batzof, v'kibol daman b'chlisharis batzof. So Tosfos on that first mishnah in Hizal Mekoyman is medayik. It would appear that all you need is a kli for shchitas kochma, you don't need a klisharis. And Taisa has another opinion, not so. Even though the mashmos of the Mishnah is shchitos matzofen, the kibul daman b'chlisharis batzof, and that the shechita does need a klisharis, just needs a kli. So the 2 days in Taisus, whether yes or no. But the Gemara says this for sure: shechitas kachim. We learn out from Vayikach Hazam Achelis, Avraham Avinu was treating his son Yitzchak as a korban oila, haleu sham leoila. So because he was going to shecht the korban oila, his son, with a macheles, so we established based on the pasuk that shechitas kachim needs a kli. Not enough, a dovah tolish, has to be a kli. So how can you learn out two different things from the same pasuk? You learn out from the word machelos that shechitas chulin has to be tolush, doesn't have to be a kli, tolush. And you learn out from the word machelos that shechitas kachim has to be a kli, maybe even a kli shoris. How can you learn out? There it happens to be that it was an oila. Avraham Avinu thought that Yitzchak is going to be an oila. So how can you derive anything from there to shechitas chulin? So Tosis touches on the issue. They don't ask it as a question. They just point out. You learn out two opposite dinim from the same word. How can it be? I don't know. So the Gemara quoted in Machlokes Rebbe and Reb Chiya. What's the din if you shecht behemas chulin? This is maseches chulin. Zvachim is about shechitas kachim, and this is shechitas chulin. So when you shecht chulin, Rebbe's opinion is you don't need a kli, broken glass that's very sharp, or a blade of grass, anything that's sharp that can do the job is acceptable, provided it doesn't have any pegimas. So Rebbe's opinion is that if you shecht with a knife that's mechubel karka, that's not acceptable. And Reb Chiya disagrees. He doesn't hold from the drasha. He makes fun of that. He says you can't prove anything from the drasha machelas, so garnish min garnish. Okay. So the Gemara discussed on Tezvav and Mabes, what would be the din of Tolush el Besav Chibra? It's not that the bark of the tree or the wood on the tree or the branch is so sharp that you're able to fiddle a chicken back and forth on the sharp branch of the tree. The tree is mamash hishrish. The tree is rooted in the ground and it's growing and it's alive. What if you have a knife that's very sharp that you cemented into the wall? So it's not hishrish in the karka, but that's called tolush el besav chibro. What would Rebbe say if you shecht a chicken or a behemah with such a knife that's mechuber, but it's tolush el besav chibro, it's lo hishrish? What would he say over there? So the Gemara raised an issue. The Gemara discussed it. So then the Gemara says, well, what do you say in other areas of halacha? We distinguish between karka metatlam and various halachas. So last week we ran through, two weeks ago, the din by Avodah Zarah. The din is by Avodah Zarah. The pasuk says, Elaheihim al haharim. When we come to Eretz Yisrael and we'll find that the Zainumis who lived there before us were all worshipping Avodah Zarah, so we have to destroy we have to destroy all the places and all the Avodah Zarahs that they worship. So the Gemara has a drasha, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah has a drasha. If the Goyim worship the har itself, they worship the karka itself, it's pasul agavaya. You can't use that location to build a Beis HaMikdash there, but it's muta ba'anoa l'chulin. Mechubel karka doesn't become osa ba'anoa. So the Gemara says, what would you say by Avodah Zarah? Hameshtachva labayis, shalom. If I bow down to your house, ain't on the most adobe shein shaloi. So I can't, my machshevus Avodah Zarah can't relate to your house. Hameshtachva labayis shalom. I bow down to my own house. So the question is the house dina ke mechuber? And mechuber doesn't become asaba. No, they say the house is dina ke tolush, because it's tolush of the self chibra. So the Gemara says, no, Avodah Zarah is a different din. Avodah Zarah, that's what we explained last time. It doesn't really depend on mechuber and tolush, a different word. It depends on yesh bo tfisus yad adam versus ein bo tfisus yad adam. We said over, the Gemara has a din, let's say the apples fell down from the tree and no one picked them up yet. So the apples fell off of the tree, they're certainly not mechuber anymore. Or the hen lays an egg and the egg is on the grass now, or on the hay, whatever. That egg is tolush, that's not mechuber. But nobody picked up the egg yet. Nobody picked up the apple yet. So if you bow down to that apple and that egg, it doesn't become asabanoa, because that's called ein bo tfisus yad adam. The minute you pick it up and you put it down, that's called yesh bo tfisus yad adam. You can only ask for something as avodah zarah if it's manufactured by man. So the apples grow on the tree. What do you mean manufactured? If you picked it up and you put it down, that's called manufactured by man. The eggs. If the hen lays the egg, it's a natural thing. Once you pick it up and you put it down, that's called yesh bo tfisus yad adam. So if you have a house, the house is made by man. The house is, even if all the house is mechuber l'karka dina k'karka, even if you all told us Shabbosov is Dimon Kimechuber, but it certainly is the Eshbot Tvisas Yaradim. The house is made by man. The Mishnah even says in Avodah, the Pasuk says in Chumash, you have to burn Asherim Tisrufum Boesh. When we come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to burn the Asherah trees. The Gemara says, but the Asherah trees are Mamish Mechuber Lekarka Dina Kekarka. It's Hishrish. The Asherah tree is rooted in the ground and it's growing. That's Mamish Mechuber. So how come it becomes Asabano? So the Gemara says, because they planted it L'Shem Avodah Zarah. That's called Yesh Bo Tfisas Yadon. Even though it's Mamish Mechuber, it's Hishrish, they planted it. Or one Tana says, even if it wasn't planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah, it was planted as a beautiful tree, and then they chiseled off, they wanted to make it neat. So when they designated it as an Avodah Zarah, as a deity, they decided they're going to worship it. So they trimmed it a little bit on top, they made it fancy, the hedges. So that's also one Tana holds, that's also called Yesh Bo Tfisas Yadon. So the din by Avodah Zarah, that we understand. Amishtachva Labai Shalo, when you bow down to your own house, bow down to someone else's house, bow down to your own house. So the Gemara says that for sure becomes osaba, no? Because by Avodah Zarah, it's not really a function of mechubelet karka dinik karka. It's not a din of toldush and mechuber. It's a din of yesh bo tvisas yadon versus ein bo tvisas yadon. Is it manufactured by man? So a house is certainly manufactured by man. And then we left off last time. We learned Rava suggested what's the din with respect to Heksha Zeroyim. The Inyan Heksha Zeroyim, this is about 15 lines from the bottom, 20 lines, right in the middle, right in the middle of Tezayin Amid Aleph. The line where it says Dvarim Yud Beis, so the line right below it says Dvarim Yud Beis, and the Torah says Alehem Al Haharim Laharim Alehem. So right after that drasha, the Gemara starts us, L'inyan Heksha Zeroyim, Tanoi Hi Tza Machleikah Satanoim. What's a Machleikah Satanoim? So Rashi explains at length over here. There are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Od mekelim ochlim amashkim. Now the din is that ochlim are only mekabel tumah if they were rinsed off. V'chiyuta mayim al zera zayu asheiz areya. Water is poured. Lav dapke water. Any one of the zayin mashkim. So if you rinsed off, if you have an apple. While the apple was growing on the tree, it rained on it many times. So that's not machshel lekabel tumah, just like the apple is not mekabel tumah when it's mechubel lekarka, so it's not mekabel hechsher either. So you have to wait till after the apple is detached from the tree, and then you can be machshel et lekabel tumah. So if you have a bushel of apples, so let's say it was raining in the middle of the night. The owner of the apples, his apples are all filthy, they was full of mud, and when it rains on it, he's very thrilled that it's raining and his apples are going to get cleaned up. So the Gemara says, that's Huchshel Lekabel Tumah. If it's Yutan Dumya Deyitein, there's a Kriya Ksiv over there, and the Chumash it's spelled Yutaf Nun, but we pronounce it Yutan, we don't pronounce it Yitein. So whenever you have a conflict between the Kriya and the Ksiv, there's an old Machlekes HaTanayim, whether Yeshem La Mikro or Yeshem La Masoris. They paskin like the Ksiv, that's Masoris, they paskin like the Kri, that's Yeshem La Mikro. And then Tosis points out, whenever there's a way to darshan the Kri and the Ksiv together, to develop halacha based on both together, that's matov. All the Tanoim agree, best is to darshan the halacha, to establish the halacha based on the combination of both. So here you have a Kri and the Ksiv. It says, ki yiten mayim al zera. Sounds like I have to pour the water. The one who owns the apples has to pour the water. And then the Kri is, ki yutan mayim al zera. If it rains, it happened that it rained on the apples. So the Gemara says you need yutan dumya deyitin, mayitin denichalei. If someone is pouring the water on the apples, he's mechavein, he knows what he's doing, he wants to wash off the apples. Af yutan denichalei. If it rains on my apples and I'm happy about the fact that it's raining on it, so then the apples become huchshel lekabel tumah. If it doesn't have huchshel lekabel tumah, it won't be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, let's say it was raining at night and I wake up in the morning, no longer raining. I see the street is full of water. I realize I listened to the news in the morning. I hear that it was raining last night. And the apples are totally dry. The apples were washed off and they got cleaned off. But now they're totally dry. All the water went out the bottom of the basket. So if at the time that I wake up and I find out about it, that it rained on the apples that were tolush, the apples are dry already, that's yutan, but it's not dumya deyitein. It wasn't nichalei. But if when he wakes up in the morning, the apples are still wet, odeyu atal olav, the Mishnah says. If the water, if the dew or the rain droplets are still on the apple, they are talalala, they're still wet, and it's nichala, he's happy about the fact that his apples were washed off, all the mud on the apples was washed off, then the apples are hukshala kabal tumah. So that's the din is based on that. So now Rashi gives you more details to explain this Mishnah that the Gemara quotes, that we consider the rain that comes down is not machshel lekabel tumah. If yet, let's say it rained and there's a puddle of water in the street. So if I take an apple, the puddle of water is pretty clean, not filthy. So if I take apples and I put them in the puddle of water on purpose, I want them to become rinsed off, to clean off. The apples have mud on them, so I want to clean off the mud. So that's hechsher lekabel tumah. What if the apples rolled in on their own? The apples rolled into the puddle of water. So then the puddle of water considered mechuba lekarka. So the apples don't become hechsher on their own. Unless I push them around in the water and I'm washing them off, then I'm washing them off with the water, so then it's hechsher. But if I didn't wash it off, the apples fell into the puddle of water, and I'm happy about it. But so it's considered, the water in the puddle is considered mechuber, and it's not machshel lekabel tumah. But what happens if when it was raining, I was happy about the fact that it was raining? Let's say like this. I have a bushel of apples. I have a bushel of apples in the house, let's say. And when it rains, it's not going to rain on them. I can't schlep the apples outside. But I put a wooden board outside so that when it rains, the rain should bounce off of the wooden board and bounce on the apples. So then my intention was, I put a plate. I have a dirty plate, and I put the plate on top of a wall. And I want the plate to get rinsed off in the rain. It's all filthy. I want it to get cleaned off. So my intention is that the water should wash off the plate, or the water should bounce on this board and bounce on the apples. So that's considered, I was interested in the rainwater to for the purpose of a davar tolush, to wash off the apples or to wash off the plate. The apples are the plate that tolush. So then even if this water now hits pears, which I didn't plan at all, the pears will become hukshel lekabel tumah also. If it rains on its own, and it rains on its own, and so if I'm aware of it when it's raining, and it's nichalei, so that's yutandumi the nichalei, yutandumi the yitain, so then the apples become hukshel. But if at the time that the rain is falling on the fruits, I'm not aware at all, so it will not become hukshel lekabel tumah unless I set up a system. I left a plate there on the top of the wall. I want the plate to get washed off, or I put a board that the rainwater should bounce on the board and wash off a plate, or the rainwater should bounce on the board and wash off the apples. So then I was, so to speak, I was toilish this rainwater. It was tchilasa l'ratzon. When the rain was coming down, I was happy. I wanted to use it, that it should serve a purpose of washing off a davar tolush. So then, even if it'll now hit another fruit or vegetable that I didn't have intention at all, that'll also become mechshel lekabel tumah. So now, when you read the Mishnah, it seems to be a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. What's the din? I left a plate. I have a wall. And the wall was just cemented, and the cement is still wet. And then I hear a bracha, it's going to rain. So the rain is going to ruin the whole cement on the wall. So I put suitcases, I put dishes, I put things on top of the wall to protect the wall from the rain. I don't want, and now because I put things on the wall to protect it, the rain shouldn't fall on the wall. So now the rain bounces on this, on the plastic sheets that I put on the wall, and it bounces on the apples. If I wouldn't have put the plastic there, it wouldn't bounce on the apples, because it's the plastic is in such a direction, it's going to bounce on the apples. So the Mishnah says, so my intention was to protect the wall. That's not called ishtamshus for a davar tolush. To protect the wall that it shouldn't get wet. What happens if it's going to rain in one direction, I'm going to put a board there so that the rainwater should bounce on the board and wash off the wall. Let's say the well in one location is filthy. It costs money for water, so it's going to rain. So I put a board there that the rain should bounce on the board and it should bounce onto the wall. So there seems to be a contradiction between the first line and the second line in the Mishnah in Maseches Machshirin, whether that's considered, do you treat the wall which is cemented into the ground? That's a Tolosh of the Besav Chibro. It wasn't Hishrish, it didn't take root. It's not like a tree that's rooted in the ground. So do you treat the wall which is Tolosh of the Besav Chibro like Mechuber? So my intention was that it should rain. Let's say I'm happy that it's raining on the apples on the tree. It's washing off. The apples on the tree are Mechuber, so that's not called the Tchilosa Lerotzen. So over here, I'm happy that it's raining. I want the rain to wash off the wall. So do you consider the wall like a Dovet Tolush? So even if now the rain bounces from the wall and it bounces on apples, they'll be Huchshu L'Kabel Tum, even though I wasn't interested. Or do you say, no, the wall that's Mechuber L'Karka is Dinek and Mechuber, even though it's Tolush L'Sav Chibur V'Lei Yishvish, maybe I should treat it like Mechuber. So Rava says, he thinks that's a machlokes hatanaim. Linya hechsha zroim, what's the din of Tolub Shavuz Chibros? He says, Tanoihi. He thinks it's a machlokes hatanaim. Why disnan? The Mishnah says like this. The line begins with the word disnan. Hakofa kaira ala koisil. He puts upside down. Koifa means he puts something upside down. Hakofa kaira ala koisil on top of the wall, the cement wall. The shvil shetudach. I want to wash off the plate. So the plate is tolush. So he's happy that the rain is going to hit the plate and wash it off. Hareza b'chiyutan. So that was tchilosa l'ratzon. He wants the rainwater to wash off the kari, which is tolush. Even if now the water is going to bounce on apples, and he wasn't thinking about that at all, it'll be machsha the apples l'kabel tum. What if he puts the plate on top of the wall b'shul shelo yilka hakoisel? He doesn't want the wall to get wet because he just cemented and he doesn't want all the rainwater to ruin his newly cemented wall. So it says, in other words, he wants to protect the wall. He's not using the water at all. He put a plate on, he doesn't want to wash the plate. He just wants to protect the wall that it shouldn't get wet. So he's not really interested in using the rainwater at all. That's not... That water, if it'll bounce onto a bushel of apples, won't be machshel kabutum. So the Gemara says, isn't there a contradiction in A and B between the two lines in the Mishnah? Hagufa kasha, isn't it a contradiction in the diukim, in the inferences? Amrit, first he said, bishul sheturach, hareza b'chiyutan. If he's interested, he put a dirty plate on top of the wall, bishul sheturach hakaira, that the plate should get washed off. So that's called tchilosa l'ratzon. Areza b'chiyutan, the plate is tolish. What would have been b'shvil sheyurach hakoisel? What if he puts a plate on top of the wall that the water should bounce on the plate and wash off the wall? Sounds like that's not called a kavana for hishtamshes for a dovet tolish. Einze b'chiyutan. Why? Apparently you consider the wall as mechubel karka. And then v'horatoni, and then the next line in the Mishnah seems to contradict it. If he puts something, he puts the kaira on the wall, b'shul shalei yilka hakoisel, he wants to protect the wall, then ainim b'chiyutan, because he's not using the water for anything, he just wants that the water shouldn't hit the wall. But what if he puts a kaira, ho b'shul sheyurach hakoisel, what if he does want to wash off the wall? So from the sefer of the Mishnah's hands, hareza b'chiyutan. So it seems to be a contradiction, whether the tolo shel b'sav chibur, the wall, which is cemented into the ground, it's not hishrish, it's not planted, it didn't take root, it's cemented into the ground, where the Tolosh of Sav Chibro, for the purpose of Hechshel Kabel Tumah, is it Dinika Tolosh or Dinika Mechubah? So what do you do with this contradiction? So Rav is quoting, Amar Rav Lazar lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Lazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so Rav Lazar says, Tavra, it's a contradiction, it's a split, Mishu Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, it's a Machlekes HaTanoi. So that's what Rav is saying. Rav said, with respect to Shechita, he's going to discuss it. He said, with respect to Avodah Zarah, Tolosh B'Sav Chibur is Asa, because there it depends on Yesh Bo Tvisus Yadodim. And he says, based on Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi says, with respect to Mechubel Karka, with respect to Hechsher Zroim, it's a Machlekes HaTanoim, according to Rabbi Lozer. If you all like Rabbi Lozer, the Mishnah in Machshirin quoted a Machlekes HaTanoim. You have another Masechtus also, when the Gemara quotes a Mishnah or a Brisa that seems to be contradictory. You have in the middle of Ksubas, you have like that Paragaphalpi, towards the end of Paragaphalpi. So Rav Blazer says, Tavra Mishu Shana Zu Lo Shana Zu. And the other Amoraim, I'm not happy that. What do you mean? You take a Mishnah, two lines in the Mishnah, you say the first line is one Tana, the second line is another Tana. That's how you write a Mishnah. There's a machloikis between the first line and the second line. So Rav Blazer says, Tavra, it's a machloikis. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa doesn't want to go for that. It doesn't make sense that the Rebbe should edit the Mishnahs and leave it in such a sloppy fashion that the first line and the second line contradict each other. A Papa says, no, you're talking about two different kinds of a kaisel. A Papa, I mean, there's no contradiction. Kulachatanahu, it depends what kind of a kaisel. Ha b'kaisel ma'or, ha b'kaisel binyan. If it's a kaisel binyan, you have bricks. And you put the bricks on the ground, you throw cement. So that's called tolu shel b'sof chibra. First, the bricks were separate, they were detached from the ground. And then you cement them into the ground. So tolush l'basav chibra is dinin ketolush. But if you have a kaisel ma'ora, let's say you have a natural kaisel, you chisel, let's say, you have a mountain over here, and you chisel out from the mountain a little bit, and what's left behind is mamash mechuber. This is the way the rock was from Sheshis Mei Breshis. Nobody put a rock over here. This is the way the Rabbanu Shalom created the world. So that rock is mechuber l'karka. If I would detach the rock and then I put it back in, that would be tolush al b'sav chibra, because it doesn't take root in the ground. But if you have a kaisel ma'ora, a kaisel of ma'ora is a cave, and you carved out, you hollowed out the inside of the cave, whatever's left behind was mechuber l'karka mitchilosai. So that's not called tolush al b'sav chibra. Let's say the following case. Let's say you dig out earth from the ground, and then you throw it back on the ground. So that's called Tolosh al Besav Chibroi. That's called Tolosh earth on earth. Is it? That's Karka. That's what Karka is. That's not called Tolosh al Besav Chibroi. In Yerideya, it says in Yerideya that a mace is also Bahanoah, and Mishamshe HaMeis HaRosamana. What says Mishamshe HaMeis? Tachrichim. They dress up the mace and Tachrichim, so the Tachrichim are also Bahanoah. The mace also Bahanoah is a question whether that's the Raisa the Rabbanan. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk of Gzeira Shava. It says, when Miriam died, Vatoma Sham Miriam Atikova Sham. So the word Sham appears. And then it says, the word Sham by Egla Rufa. V'yorfu Sham is a Egla Banachal. So the word Sham Sham, Gzeira Shava. So just like Egla Rufa is also Banoah, how do you know Egla Rufa is also Banoah? The Gemara has a whole proof. Because it says, Kapar Ksivba Kukachim. When you're being an Egla Rufa, because you found someone murdered in Eretz Yisrael, you have to measure to this closest cities. So the city that's closest brings an egla rufa, and the kohanim from the city come and they pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kapal am chiso shepadis Hashem. Baruch Hashem should give an atonement to the Jewish people that amongst us is a murderer. We don't know who the murderer is, so we're all held guilty. So we all need a kapara. The murderer is not going to get a kapara. If we're going to find out who he is, we're going to kill him even after we brought the egla rufa. But the rest of Klal Yisrael needs a kapara. So we establish that egla rufa is also manah because it says Kapanam Chisol Hashem Padis Hashem Kaparik Sivba Kikotchim, and it says by Miriam Vatama Shamiriam Vatikava Sham. So the word Sham is a Gzereshava with the word Sham by Egla Rufa. So that's how you know that a mace is also mana. So the Mishlam Melech writes under the Rambam, he's not so convinced that this is a real Droshig Mura Gzereshava. The Rais says maybe it's an Asmachta, but he says that Taisus in a few Mesichtas writes a Dava Pashut that a mace also banoah is a real din derais. So he says, okay, maybe Tos is right. He's not fully convinced. Maybe it's only an asmachtam of the rabban. What about tachrichim of the mace? So the Gemara says tachrichim arasar, and the arvin is also the shali. Even the matzeva may be called mishamshe hameis. So shali, how far do you go to be considered mishamshe hameis at also banoah? So that's a further machlokes. Rabbi Kivega quotes that even if you assume like Tosis that a mace also banoah is a din derais, maybe the tachrichim, maybe that's only mid the rabban. So let's say you bury the mace in the ground, and then you take offer and you throw it on top of the mace. So the offer on top of the coffin is also mishamshe hameis. You want the mace to be buried kvura b'karka. So Moshe has from the Shulchan Aruch. Moshe writes, how deep does it have to be? Let's say the cemetery is very swampy, so you don't want to, it's not covered on mace to leave a coffin in the middle of wet earth. So you want to bury the mace higher up in the ground. How low down do the mason have to be? They don't have to be 6 feet under. How low down do they have to be that you should be in fulfillment of the mitzvah, kfura v'karka? Now Moshe brings a rifle in the Shulchan Aruch, 3 tefachim. But it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if there's not enough room in the cemetery, you want to bury mason on top of other mason, so you have to have 6 tefachim of offer in between the two mason. Each mason needs 3 tefachim to the right, to the left, in all directions. all four directions and on top and on bottom. Everybody needs three tefachim. So you always need a harchaka of six tefachim on top of each other, next to each other. You always need a harchaka of six tefachim. So you see that you need three tefachim. So the three tefachim of Ofer is necessary to be mishamish the mace. Otherwise, you're not doing fura bekarka. So what happens? Does that Ofer become asabano? So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. They talk about tolu shelibesof chibroy. Tolu shelibesof chibroy. How do you know that a mace is also banor? Because you compare it, Batamash Miriam is compared to Kaparik Sibok Kekodshim. So somehow the Gemara fits into this Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, just like by Avodah Zarah, Mechuber doesn't become also banor, so too by the mace, Mechuber doesn't become also banor. So let's say you have flowers growing on the base HaKvaris. So the flowers are Mechuber. So they don't become also banor. But let's say the coffin is not mechuba. The coffin and the tachrich are not mechuba. They do become osabana. So what if you have offer? You took the offer out from the ground, then you throw it on top of the yoren. So the first three tochim immediately on top of the yoren, would you call that tolosh elibusav chibroi? That will be osabana. And he's saying no, offer on top of offer is offer. That's mamish mechuba. Like if you plant the tree and the tree takes root, that's mechuba lekarka mamish. So offer on top of offer should be real. Should be real mechuba lekarka. Even though nothing is growing, but that offer on top of offer is karka. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Tur that the offer that you throw on top of the Orein does become Asabana. How can it become Asabana? If you somehow comparing it to Avodah Zarah, offer on top of offer is Mamish Mechuber. So they explain, no, it doesn't depend on Mechuber and Tolish. It depends on Yesh Bo Tfisus Yad Adam, Ein Bo Tfisus Yad Adam. So since this offer, I took a shovel and I threw the offer on top of the Orein, so that's called Yesh Bo Tfisus Yad Adam. The Gemara said the same, let's say, Hameshtach Vel Sode. A person bows down, he deifies his own field. I deify someone else's field, Eidan Amos Adobu Shein Shaloi. I deify my own field. So I deify my own field, it's Mechuba Lekarka, doesn't become Masa. The Gemara said, what if I take a shovel, and as part of the deification of the field, I feel I have to dig a ditch a little bit. So the Gemara says, then the whole field just became Yesh Bo Tfisus Yad Adam. I treat it as if the whole field was manufactured by him. Just like when the hen lays the egg. So Kolzman, I didn't pick it up, Ein Bo Tfisus Yad Adam. I pick it up and I put it down. That's called Yesh Bo Tfisus Yad Adam. So Sada also, if Hameshtachva the Sada Shalom, Chafaba Boris, he dug a Boris, part of the deification, then the Gemara says, even though it's Mamish Karka, it's Mamish Elohim Haharim. It's Mamish, the Karka itself is the deity. But it becomes also because of Yesh Bo Tfisus Yad Adam. So the same over here, if you took offer and you threw it on top of the grave, that offer will become, there are more quotes, that offer will become also.
By Ein Adam Osa Dabashen Shalom, if he did the mice of lifting up the dirt and putting it down, his Sada Shal Chavero, does it become also because now he did a mice, or it's still the Machshava and you can't do it?
There is a discussion in the Gemara later in Chulin and the Mems about Ein Adam Osa Dabashen Shalom means if I just bow down to your right. Television. But if I do a maisa to it, my machshava doesn't relate to your property. But if I'm doing a maisa, sometimes you do say, we're going to have to learn that Gemara. Gemara distinguishes between a Jew and a Goy. It's a complicated Gemara.
Are you kinyan
when you do the maisa? No, you're not kinyan. You get a kinyan geneva, means that you're chai v'yonsen, but it doesn't become yours. It doesn't become yours. Rashi says the kinyan geneva plays a role. Kinyan geneva makes it shali. And again, that's on Mem. That's going to be around a little after Daf Mem.
Would that be a reason why not to step on a grave? Because it's also about Noah? Besides being not covered on mace.
Yeah. You're getting Hanoah by stepping on the offer. Yeah.
Rabbi, three tefachim all around the kever. Now, how deep do you go would have to depend on how high the aron is. Because you need three tefachim above that.
Above the aron. Yeah, in Europe years ago, they used to bury 6 feet under, and then they needed more room for the cemetery, so they would bury other mason. In Prague, they have like that. No, they have a few layers of mason, and other cities also they have like that.
They did it during the war because there was no room.
They had no brewery. Yeah. Magen Avraham, I think, is buried in Kalish. He was in Kalish. Kalish also has few layers of it. A lot of communities like
the
that.
The Maharal is buried right in back of the shul. the graves are one on top of the
other. One on top of the other.
The tombstones are like 3 inches and then another 3 inches.
Yeah. So the din is, it's supposed to be 6 tvachim of offer in between the upper coffin and the lower coffin. Each coffin, each mace needs 3 tvachim in all directions. That's what it says in Yeridei. That's a Gemara like that. Yeah. So again, so you have a Mishnah and Machshirin. Seems to be contradiction between the first line and the second line. So Rabbi Lozo de Amara says, Tavra Mishnah Shanazu Lo Shanazu. Rebbe wrote the Mishnayis, Stam, no names are mentioned. The first line and the second line contradict each other, and they represent two different opinions, which is very strange. So that's what Rava said to Machlokes HaTanaim. And Rapapa says, what kind of Machlokes? What do you mean? Rebbe edited the Mishnah and said, he left it like that. You should say, Divra Meir Rabbi Yudaima. Say it's two different Tanaim. He says, nah, the Mishnah holds Tolosh al-Besav Chibrai is Dinikit Tolosh. But the contradiction, whether I treat the wall as a Mechubra Tolosh, we're talking about two different walls. In one line in the Mishnah, we're talking about a wall that you took bricks, which are Tolosh, and then you cemented them and you made a wall. That's Tolosh al-Besav Chibrai, that's Dinikit Tolosh. And the other line we're talking about, that you carved out a Ma'ora, you hollowed out a cave, and the walls of the cave that remained behind remained. That was mechuber mitchilasai. That's still mechuber from sheishes mebreishes. That's not tolosh al besav chibur. That's mamish mechuber. So that's where our papa says. Kulachatan. There's no machlekes. First line and second line. Or because of ma'ara, or because of binyan. V'achi kama. This is how you have to read this mishnah. Okay, and he's going through the mishnah again. The machshin. Akoyfa kaira ala koysel. He put a plate upside down on top of the wall. Mishvil Shatudach, he wants the plate to get washed off, and the plate is tolush. Sahareza bichiyutan. So the plate does need hechshel lekabel tuma. A plate is a kli. The only thing that needs hechshel is oichlim. Need hechshel lekabel tuma. So if the water bounces from the plate onto apples, and he wasn't intending for that at all, doesn't matter, since trilosa lerotzen. Since when it was raining, it was nichale, he wanted the rain to wash off the korah, which is tolush. So even so for shaloli rotzen, even when the water bounces off of the plate and bounces onto the apples will become hukshah. I raise that b'chiyutan. The inference would be, only because he's interested in washing off the plate. What if he's interested in washing off? No plate. He was interested in washing off the kaisel. He sees it's raining, says, Baruch Hashem, it's raining. My dirty kaisel will be cleaned off. Kaisel is all full of schmutz. If he's happy, that he wants the kaisel to get washed off. Why? Because the wall is considered mechubel karka. When is that? By medvar mamurim. When is that provided? Because on ma'ora. That's if you hollowed out a cave, and the wall that's there was there from before. So that's not an issue of tolish and b'sav chibur. That's mamish mechubel. Avol. The next line in the Mishnah is talking about a different kind of a kaisel. It's one tana, but it's a different kaisel. Avol. The kaisel binyan, if it's a man-made kaisel, you took bricks and you attached them, you cemented them together, so that tolush el besav chib is dinikit tolush. So even bishvil shelo yilka ha-kaisel, if he put a plate on top of the kaisel, he's not interested in washing the plate and he's not interested in washing the kaisel. He wants to protect the kaisel that it shouldn't get rained on. So that's a negative kavanah. So he wasn't interested in using the rain for any positive purpose. And then the rainwater bounces off of the plate that he put on top and bounces onto the fruits. But what if his interest was b'shul shiurach ha-koisel? What if his interest was he wants the koisel to get washed off? Then it would be. Why? Because that's a koisel that was told to shul b'sof chibra. That's because of binyan. It's told to shul b'sof chibra. It's dinikit told. So that Rapapa doesn't say it's a machlekes hatanaim. The Gemara before said, with respect to hechsher zorim, it's a machlekes hatanaim. That's if you hold like Rabbi Lozer, who says tavra mishu shanazu lo shanazu, that the two lines in the Mishnah, first line and second line, represent a machlekes hatanaim. But if you hold like Rabbi Puppet, there's no machlekes in the Mishnah.
The way they're building in the cemeteries in Israel, they're building these walls, they're burying people in the walls above the ground.
Again, what are they doing? They're building walls.
Shells.
Means man-made. It's a house.
Man-made.
Yeah. So that's talush.
That is talush.
Yeah. Benegat mesim. That's considered talush because in Shulchan Aruch it says even the offer that you threw, The offer you throw off on top of offer, that should mamish be karka. That should mamish be karka. Nonetheless, the Rambam quotes the Chumrah, offer on top of offer does become osa b'anor by the mace, because it's called yesh bo tvisas yad odom. By the mace, it's the same as the din by Avodah Zarah. That it depends on yesh bo tvisas yad odom versus ein bo tvisas yad odom. Right, so for Avodah Zarah purposes, it'll become osa b'anor. The whole field will become osa b'anor, yeah. But for other purposes, it'll still be a question. Each case, you have to judge individually. Is it a din of Mechuber versus Tolish? Is it a din of Karka versus Metalpilin? What's the nature of the din? And now the Gemara declares, Boi Rava. Rava has a Shaila. We already discussed that Shaila on Tezvav HaMebeis. But Rava didn't know this discussion. The Gemara was written in different yeshivas. Rava lived in Machuza. All the Amoraim lived in different cities. Boi Rava, so Rava has a suffix. What's the din? Tolish of a Sof Chibroi. The Inyan Shchita Mai. If you all like Rebbe, that if you shecht with the sack and that's Mechuba Lekak, let's say have the branch of the tree is very sharp, or it's not so sharp. I sharpened it. I made it very sharp. And then I take a chicken and I'm going to rub the chicken back and forth to shecht the chicken. You don't have to fiddle the knife back and forth. You can leave the knife in one spot and fiddle the chicken back and forth. But if it's Mechuba Lekarka, so we pass like Rebbe against Reb Chiya, that Shechita Mechuba is no good. So Rav had a suffix. What if it's Tolda Shele B'Sof Chibra? What if he took a knife, he bought a knife in the store, Tolish, and then he cemented the knife into the wall? That's mamish cemented in the wall. And then he takes a chicken and he shechts it like this. Is Tolish B'Sof Chibra B'Negeh to Shechita? Is it considered Mechuba? Is it considered? Because he knows that each din, you can't bring a tushta from one din to the other. Each din is not necessarily the same. They're different. That's what he declares. Talish v'asav chibli in shchita mai. What's the din? So the Gemara toshma. So Rashi and Tosfos say the Gemara already discussed it on Tezvav HaMebeis. Why it says, but he had it in the Mishnah. The Gemara already discussed it, but Rava wasn't aware of that discussion. So he starts all over again. So the Gemara toshma. Let's prove from what is this? From a brisa. From the Bryce and Tezvavim base. Oyotzur, Yoitze min hakoisel. Tzur is a sharp rock, very sharp, that you can use it to shech the neck. Oyotzur, Yoitze min hakoisel. It's attached to the wall. Oshoikone, Oyle me'elov. What is a sharp branch that's growing by itself? Vishochab, Oshchitosa, Psula, because Mechuber is no good. That's the Machalek, it's Rebbe and Rav Chiya. And the Braisa goes like Rebbe, that's how we pass on Shechita b'Mechuber, is no good. So it gives two examples of Mechuber. One example was Kona Oyla Me'elu. Kona means growing in the ground. That's Mamish Hishrish, that took roots in the ground. So that's not called Toldash of Sav Chibur. That's a Hishrish is Mamish Mechuber the Karka. But that was the second case. And the first case was a Tzur. Yotze Min HaKos sounds like I have a sharp, very sharp edged rock that's attached to the Kaisel. So the Gemara thought that the tzur yotzei min hakosel is a tolish of b'sof chibur, and still says that it's no good in the brisa. And for the Gemara, no, you can be matra. Hachem askinan because on ma'ara, maybe the tzur that's yotzei min hakosel means that this is a kosel that was there from sheishis mei bereishis. This is naturally attached. So that's mamish mechuba. That's alchol adez mechuba. Hachem askinan because on ma'ara and dekanami. It's a little meduyak like that because it's put together in the brisa with kona oyla me'elov. Kona oyla me'elov means that it's hishrish, that it took roots, it's growing on the ground. Dekanam, dektani dumi de kona oyla me'elov. Kona oyla me'elov says, shmamino, that brisa, you can't be poshed the suffix of Rava. Rava had a suffix. What's it? Din tolish of the suffix chibroi by shchita. So the brisa doesn't prove a thing because the kona oyla me'elov is mamish b'chuba l'karka. It's mamish hishrish. And the tzur yotze min hakoisel, that could be that it's a koisel ma'ara. So it's mamish mechuba l'karka. Tosh Masa, they're going to quote another brisa. We had all these brises were quoted on Tezvav HaMebeis already. So Rava wasn't aware of that discussion. The Gemara was worked out in different yeshivas and bovel at different times, different generations. So that's why sometimes you have a repeat, and the same sugya repeat from one sugya to the other. The Amoraim weren't all aware of all the conversations that was worked out in other yeshivas. So Gemara says, Toshma, bring in a rai from the other braisa. Not sakin b'koisel. He has a knife, and he sticks the knife into the wall. It's held tightly in the wall. It doesn't even say that he put cement. just that it's snugly held into the wall. V'shachat boy, b'di'evit shchitosik shev. It says that it's good. So you see, b'feirish that tolush el b'sav chibroi is tolush. Tolush el b'sav chibroi is tolush. The other, the Gemara could have said the b'risa goes like Rapchia. Rapchia holds that even shecht b'mchuber is good b'di'evit. But they didn't have to go so far. So they said maybe the Olam the Brisa goes like Rebbe that Shechita b'mechuber is possible, and maybe Tolosh el b'sav chibur is also no good. But if you didn't even cement the knife into the wall, you just stuck it in. There was a crack in the wall, and you stuck it in and snugly held over there. That's Tolosh el b'sav chibur only temporarily. That's not even permanently. When you have a lamppost in the street, or you have a building. That's Tolosh el b'sav chibur, cemented in permanently, meant to stay there for many years. Here I stuck the knife in without cementing it in. No at sakin bekoiso, so the Gemara says, shiny sakin dolei mevatalei. Maybe here this is l'choladeis. If it's Tolosh el b'sav chibro, and he didn't even cement it in, and it's only there temporarily, so maybe that's l'choladeis, that's not a shayla. That's certainly called Tolosh, and there's no suffix of Rava. Rava's suffix was Tolosh el b'sav chibro, and it cemented in. So there's no raya so far. Toshma, let's bring a raya from another brisa. What's it? Tasefta it says. Another brisa. It says in the brisa, b'mechuber l'karka, shchitosek sheir. If you shecht b'mechuber, the shchita is good. How can that be? The shchita is good. But we paschen like Rebbe. The shchita b'mechuber. So say the brisa goes like Rav Chiya. No, the Gemara thinks the brisa is not like Rav Chiya. It goes like Rebbe. So how can it say that shachet b'mechuber is shchitosek sheir? So it must be it's a tolosh el b'sav chibur, not a mechuber. You were using part of a tree that's growing from the ground. That's ishvish. You cemented it into the ground. So it says that it's good. So don't you see a b'feirish a b'raisa, a tolosh el b'sav chibur is dinikit tolosh, even though Rebbe holds shchita b'mechuber is pasul, but if it's tolosh el b'sav chibur, it's kosher. So the Gemara says, no, maybe Dilma Pirusha Kamaforishla. Maybe that's the safer of the other Brysa. The Brysa said, no at Sakim the Kaisal, Shitosak Shera. So maybe the Brysa says, Mumchuba the Kakar, Shitosak Shera. Maybe no at Sakim the Kaisal is Pirusha Kamaforishla, the Gemara says. My Mumchuba the Karka, what do we mean in the Resha? That if you Shech Mumchuba it's good, maybe it's only limited to the case of Sakim the Lemavatale. Only the second that he never even cemented it in. He just squeezed it in. It's being held in between the cracks in the building. So that's less than Tolosh el b'sav chibur. Tolosh el b'sav chibur is what to be done on if he cemented it into the ground and he plans to leave it a long time. Okay. So that's the shaila. What's the din? Gemara before said that it's good. Tolosh el b'sav chibur for shchita. It's kosher. Even if you're all like Rebbe, Mechuber is not good, Tolosh el b'sav is good. Okay. Now the Gemara has a comment. This is Negel Halacha. And we mentioned, I think, last time we learned, in America, they don't like to have the animals lying on their back. That's what they always did in Europe. That's what they always did in America. They had the animal lying on its back, and they had Goyim hold out, the man shouldn't jump around. He's going to jump around, he's going to make an nevela. And then the Yiddish Sheikhet takes the knife and he shechts milamayla lamato. The sakan is milamayla and then tabu behem is lamato and he shechts like that. So in America, they like to have the animal suspended in a pen because when the animal's on its back, it's going crazy already. He knows that they're going to kill him. So it's tzar balachayim. So here in America, you're going to kill the animal. Anyway, it's going to be tzar balachayim. Okay. So they're so worried about the behemoth, so they have mishum tzar balachayim, so they have the animals in a pen. And the neck of the animal is on top. And the sheikh and shechts milmata lamaila. So that's a question. The Gemara is going to discuss it. If he shech milmata lamaila, there's a chashash of drosa. If the head of the animal is on top, all you need is the animal should lean down a little bit. And it shechit has to be, you fiddle back and forth. We just fiddle back and forth with no pressure. You can fiddle from today to tomorrow. It's not going to shech the animal. So you have to push down. You have to have pressure going this way also. But the pressure going down should be fiddling back and forth. So if you're going to have, if the animal's neck is going to be on top, there's a issue. Maybe there's a chashash. The weight of the neck may weigh down on the knife, and the shechita will occur because al drasa, because without fiddling back and forth. So that's what the Gemara is going to comment over here.
Well, it was gravity of the animal.
gravity plus the animal will. The animal's in the pen, but it's not 100% held tight. It can lean down a little bit. Say, I'm going to lean down a little bit. It'll make drasa, it'll make an inavail. So the halacha says that it's good l'chatchila. You're not worried about drasa. We learned this already in the previous day. Halacha is good l'chatchila. But when is it good l'chatchila? That's if you have a knife that's tolush. Like today, the sheikh comes, he has a knife, and he shechts melmata lamayla. What if you have a knife that's a tolush or a besof chibroi? But he says, you can't negotiate, you can't move the knife. So you have to move the neck of the behema. So you're moving the neck of the behema, and you're shechting the knife is on the bottom, stuck into the wall. Either cemented into the wall, or not stuck in the coastal, or it's stuck into the wall, either permanently or temporarily, whatever, but the knife doesn't budge. And then you're going to take the animal's head, the chicken or the behema on top, you're going to move the animal back and forth. So then the Gemara says, he will have a chashash of drasa. If the sakin milamato and the tzava milamayla and the sakin is mechuber, so if it's mechuber, mechuber is shchitas and nevela. It's a tolish of the besof chibra. Either permanently or temporarily, salpidin, there's no issue of mechuber, but then there's the concern of drasa, that we have to aser it because of the possibility of drasa. The Gemara is going back, omamar, we're going to go back to read that brisa again. Noa sakin mekosel shchit v'shochat po. He took a knife and he stuck it into a crevice in the wall. He didn't even cement it in. And he only put it in temporarily. If he would have put it in permanently, he would cement it in. It's only there temporarily. So that b'dieved, that's k'sheira. Amar Avon and Amar Shmuel, that's only provided lo shanu elo, shasakin lemayla v'tzave behemo lemato. Aval, what if the sakin is lemato v'tzave behemo lemayla, chashinan shema yidrois, you're afraid, maybe he'll do a drasa. Because the neck of the animal is on top, then by gravity it's going to pull down, and all you need is the animal can move a little bit. All you need is the animal should move a little bit down. There's going to be more pushing down than pushing back and forth. So then it's going to be nevela. And then Taisus adds on. What does it say? Chashin and Shema Yidros? Davshten Chashin and Shema Doras. Why is it in the future? He says, Ya'aser it, if the Tzava Behema Lemailo and the Sakha Lemato, Chashin Hashem Doras. Why Chashin Hashem Yidros? The Taisa says, this time the Sheikh knows 100% sure that he didn't do a drasa. The animal didn't budge at all. But we can't allow it, even b'dieved, because next time he may make a mistake. Next time someone else may not be such a good expert. So Chashin Hashem Yidros, even if it's a vados this time that there was no drasa, we have to ask him at the Rabban, Chashin Hashem, next time it'll happen a drasa. Freg de Gemara Kashe. But the Brisa says it's permissible to shecht whether the sakim elamayla or the sakim elamata says everything is okay. How did Rabbanan come and say achilik? Everything more? No. When the Brisa said it doesn't make a difference, sakim elamayla, sakim elamata, that's if the sakim is tallish like today. The shecht takes a knife and they hold the animal up suspended in a pen and the four legs are down. The animal is standing normal. He's suspended in the air and then the shecht shechts like this. But the sakim is tallish. But if the sakin is mechuber, and then you have to, how are you going to be able to shecht? So you have to move the neck of the chicken back, or your neck of the behema back and forth, fiddle the neck back and forth. So then it's chashin Hashem Yidros. Whenever the sakin is mechuber, then you can't have the tzava malamayla because of the chashash of dros. Freg the Gemara, how can Rav Onan make such a statement? I've haktani ben shasak lamata v'sav behema lamayla ben shasak lamata v'sav behema lamata. It's kosher. We had a brisa before. And for the Gemara, Amar Azvid, no, let's darim k'tani. The sakin lemata and the tzavah behema lemaila is fine. No problem, that's if the sakin is talush. But if the sakin is mechuber, talush el besof chibroi, then it's a chashash of drosim. That's what Azvid answered. Amar Azvid, let's darim k'tani. Each price is talking about a different case. It depends. It's with the condition. Sakin lemata v'savah behema lemaila is good, only betolush. But if sakin lemata, tzav behema lemata, that's good even b'mechub. Even if the knife happens to be tolish of the savchibur. Or a papa, but also the kolal, even if the sakin is lemata and the tzav lemaila, the only time you're concerned about drosa is if it's a big fat animal with a big fat neck, then you're afraid it's going to lean down and it'll be a drosa. Instead of shechting by fiddling back and forth because he can't negotiate with the knife. The knife is mechuba, talish b'sav chibroi. So then it's a chashash dros. But if you have a chicken is kolal, chicken is very light. So you hold on to the neck of the chicken, you fiddle the knife. You fiddle the neck back and forth. So there's no chashash of drosa. by an animal, it's harder. You can't move the animal's neck back and forth. It's going to be harder by Bein. That's Rav Papa answers. Okay. Rav Papa, I'm a Baofa, talking about an oaf, the color looks lighter. Okay. Now the Gemara has, okay, sure. Now the Gemara is going to give a comment on what the Brisa said before. Mishnah with the Brisa. The Mishnah on Tezvav Amibes, the whole sugi began. Ashecha b'magal yad, a sickle, or b'tzur, a very sharp rock, or b'kona. B'kona means a reed that grows from the ground. So if you have a very sharp blade of grass, that can shech. B'kona means a wooden reed, so it's good. So it's good for shechita. It's good for bismillah. Bris Milah is a question. That's what we once discussed. If you can perform a Bris Milah by laser beam, where there's no pressure being placed on it, so that's a shaila. Usually, when are you gonna make a Bris with a laser beam if the kid is hemophiliac? So the alternative is you leave him as an orally unavoid. So if that's the alternative, so in Mekel we allow you to do the Bris Milah with a laser. But if there will be, let's say, if you wait a few years, you think you will be able to. If he has hemophilia, it's not going to help to wait. Wait, maybe as Mishani, he can still die at 100 years later. The whole story begins. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin talks about Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri goes free after 6 years, but if after 6 years he says Hafti Asadani Asishtav Itzbana Leitzi Lachav, she does not go free. So it says Yishad Donav Elhadim Yishal Adelus Alam Zuz Avratz Adonav Sazna Bamatzeya Bavarolam. It makes an Eved Nirta. You have to make a hole in the hot pot. Not in the soft part on the bottom, the hard part, in what do you call the hard part?
Cartilage.
The cartilage part. So you have to make a hole over there. Don't make a hole in the eardrum, make a hole over here. So the Gemara says, Bamartseya. Bamartseya. Has to be a Martseya. What if you have a ballpoint pen, you make a hole? It's our balachayim. You shouldn't do that. You're going to cause pain unnecessarily. But the Gemara says, anything that is placing pressure. What if you use a sharp chemical that's going to burn a hole? So the Gemara said, that's no good. You're not yotze the din of ritzia. You have to make another hole. If you made the hole without using pressure, you used some, that's not acceptable. So based on that Gemara, that's what they discussed, the recent Achreim talking about, can you perform a bismillah by using some? If you don't have a knife to cut with pressure by placing pressure, can you use laser beams where pressure is not being used to form the Bris Milah? So if it's a hemophiliac, you have no choice. It's better than nothing. So maybe you don't say a bracha. Okay, it's a safi kabiyotz in the mitzvah, so don't say the bracha. So here, for Bris Milah, you can use anything that's sharp that you're going to place pressure on it. So let's say you have a sharp piece of glass. Good. But if you have a sharp blade of grass, the Gemara says you shouldn't use that, because blades of grass, often it's going to splinter off. So the wood of the blade, let's say a kona. Kona means a wooden reed. So the wooden reed may break, and you may puncture the aver of the baby without realizing it. You may cause him harm. So that's what he says. There are five halachas. More quotes. Amar Rav Chisda, the line begins with the words Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yitzchak. He quotes the name Rav Yitzchak. The Amri Lo, another version has it, the Masnita Tan. It's not Rav Chisda quoting Rav Yitzchak. It's a Braise. We're not sure who said this, whether Tan or Namoira. It says the following statement: Chamisha Dvarim Nemra Bikrum Mishal Kana. If you have a reed, a wooden reed that grows from the ground, and you want to use it as a knife to shecht, or to cut a piece of flesh, or to cut a piece of fish, or to perform a Bris Milah, so you have to be careful. Five dinim. Number one, ein shecht nimbo. You should never use it to shecht, because it may break off. It may break off another piece of wood, and it'll make a nekev in the veshet. It'll make a nekev, and it'll make it a trefa before you finish the shechita. Vei molabo, you shouldn't use it to perform a Bris Milah again. It may break off a little bit of wood, and it'll puncture a hole in the baby's aver, and you make him into a balmum. You can ruin his body. So you shouldn't use it to cut a piece of flesh, because a little bit of wood, a little bit of the wooden thing, may get stuck in the flesh, and you won't realize, and then you're going to choke. You'll swallow the piece of flesh with the wood in it. You shouldn't use it to pick in between your teeth, because we have toothpicks that are very tiny. So you're careful, you know. If you have a reed of wood, it may split in half, and you may make a hole in your gums. It may harm yourself. When you go to Beis HaKisa, you shouldn't wipe yourself off with such a piece of wood, because it may split, and it may make a hole in your body. So the Gemara goes through all the five things. What do you mean, ein shechtin bo? The first thing we said, you shouldn't use the shecht. I have a hatanya, but it said, beferish not so. The Mishnah said, bakol shechtim, you can use any instrument, as long as it's talush, you can use anything that cuts, bein betzur, tzur is a sharp rock, bein mischuch is a sharp piece of glass, bein mikrum mishalkana, a blade of grass is acceptable. So what are you telling me, that a krum mishalkana should not be used? Because he may make a hole in the neck, he may make a neck of a neveshet before he finished the shechita, but it says in the Mishnah not so. And for the Gemara, there are different kinds of blades of grass. It depends what it grows over here, grows over there. Some of them, there's a chashash that it'll splinter off and it'll make a hole in the corner in the neveshet. And there's no chashash. If it comes from an agam, it comes from a swamp, then there is a chashash, and the other one is no chashash. Okay. Depends which one you're talking about. Then you said, "Vei mechatchem babasar." You shouldn't use this wooden reed to cut a piece of flesh, even though it's very sharp, because you may not realize it. It may splinter off, and then you have a little wood in the piece of flesh, and then you can choke it if you're going to swallow it. So the Gemara says, "But minod amaraim did it." Rapapa mechatch bakir ve'dogim. Rapapa used to use a blade of grass, such a wooden reed, to cut chunks of fish, kirvei dogim. And for the Gemara, the zaigi, because the kirvei dogim were transparent, and if a piece of wood would get stuck there, he would notice it right away. It would be noticeable. If you have a piece of flesh, and you're not going to notice that the little toothpick is stuck there, then you're going to swallow the whole piece of flesh with a toothpick, you can choke. But here, it's not a piece of flesh. It's kirvei dogim, it's the kishkas of the fish that are transparent. Zaigi, they shine, they're transparent. So then there's no chashash. And the Gemara says also another story. Rabbi Baruch Huna Mechatech Ba'oifa, he used to use a blade of grass to cut chicken. Why is that? The rokich. The only time there's a chashash that the wooden reed may splinter off and you may get stuck with a toothpick and you swallow, you'll choke. That's only if you have to place pressure to cut hard. Then it may split. The reed may crack and some of the wood will remain. But a piece of chicken is softer than a piece of flesh, the rokech. So it's softer, he's not going to have to place such major pressure to cut it, so the blade of grass or the reed of wood is not going to crack, it's not going to split. So there's no chashash. Then the Gemara says, the last thing that he said, you shouldn't use it when you go to Beis HaKisa. They didn't have toilet paper, so they had to improvise. So you shouldn't use this reed, a wooden reed, and Mekan Chembo, you shouldn't use it to wipe yourself off. Why? Because he may not realize it, and it may splinter off another piece of wood, and that piece of wood may harm you. It may get stuck in your body. Freg the Gemara, but we have a different reason. Typically, you're not supposed to use wood to wipe yourself off. Typically, Mishum Damamam, Kanech Damashu, Shalet is Bo, Shinab Noshros. It's unhealthy for the Kishkas. You may harm yourself. I don't understand why. I don't know what that's all about. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about Kinuch and the Beis HaKisei. We're talking about Kinuch Pi Amake Karmino. If a person has an injury, has a bruise, and he wants to wipe it off, so he shouldn't wipe it off with such a wooden reed, because a splinter of wood may break off and cause more harm over there. Not talking about kinroch and beis hakis. Okay. Bikitza, the Gemara says you always have to be careful. You have to ask the doctors. Just like the Amoraim followed the doctors in their generation, we have to do the same thing. You have to follow the doctors in our generation. Okay. Now the Gemara is commenting on the other phrases. The Mishnah wrote everything b'kitzur, tezvav on the base. Sometimes you have a Mishnayis where they write full paragraphs, and sometimes they write just titles. Like there's a Mishnah in Bava Kama, Shum Kesav, Shava Kesav, Bifnei Bezn, Alpi Edem, Bnei Chorim, Bnei Bris. There's no sentence even. There's not only there's no paragraph, there's no sentence. Shum Kesav is a title of a whole essay. Shava Kesav is a title of a different essay. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Mesada the Mishnais. They were still reciting Mishnais Baal Peh till the days of Rabbeinu Rav Asher. That's when they wrote down the Mishnais. The Gemara wasn't written down until way later. That was in the days of the Gaonim. Gemara wasn't written down until then. But the Mishnais weren't written down in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He added to the Mishnais still to be recited bal peh. So sometimes they would just be miramis to dinim. So the Mishnah has a cryptic statement. Hakol shochtim, the second line in the Mishnah, in Tezvavim, Hakol shochtim, all animals lend themselves to shechita. See, the opening Mishnah, Hakol shochtim, means all people can shecht. Even a mummer, even a kusi, even a woman, Hakol shochtim means all shochtim, all people are allowed to shecht. Here it means all animals lend themselves to shechita, even oifos, the Gemara is going to say. Even though it doesn't say chumash about shechita oifos, chumash it only talks about shechita by behema v'chaya, it doesn't say about oifos. And that's a machlokes ha-tanaim, where the yesh shechita loif manatar, ain't shechita loif manatar, where the shechita oifos is the raisa or the rabbanim. The Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes, there were some rishonim of paskim, and rutmak paskins, ain't shechita loif menater. The shechita soifus is only with the rabbanim. It doesn't mean that you can buy a chicken from the A&P and you're allowed to eat it. No, that's a nevela. You don't need all the hilcha shechita. Tosfos says the kasha on Chof Amud Aleph, I think the bottom Tosfos. I seem to remember. The bottom Tosfos on Chof Amud Aleph, Tosfos says there is an institution of nivla soif tohar, the tamei abeis habliya. If an eagle dies, there's no tumah. An eagle is a reif tamei, but if a chicken dies, so then it has tumah. But it's not matami ba'ohel. Ba'ohel is only a Jew dies. It's a goyish body is matami b'maga m'masa. A dead animal, let's say a behema dies, it's matami b'maga m'masa. And an oif dies, so it depends. If it's an oif tomei, a non-kosher bird, has no tumah at all. If it's a kosher bird, nivlas oif tohar, a kosher bird dies, he didn't do shechita, it's matami abeis habliya. If you swallow it, the kazais of it, then it makes it tummy. A quirk of a din, a pasuk and chumash. Nivla saif tohu is metame beis abliya. So Tosfos says, how can there be an opinion in Tanoim? How can the man Rutmerk Paskin ain't shechita loif min ha-Torah? So what's nivla saif tohu all about? There's a Mishnah, Yud Gimel Dinim Nemro b'nivla saif tohu. There are 13 halachas about nivla saif tohu. Mishnah is in Taras. How can you have a nivla saif tohu if you don't need shechita? So Tosfos says, no. You don't need all the chomish el cheshchit, shia, drosa, chalod, hagrom, v'ikr, but you still need the chira simonim and atzavar. You can't kill the chicken by electrocuting it or by choking it to death. You have to kill the animal. If you take a sword that's full of pegimus and you cut off the head, that's a nechira. Nechira simanim and atzaba you do need. If you kill the chicken, the oif tohar, with that nechira simanim, then for sure it's nevela. But the machlekes is, can you use a saw? Menatoira, midirabana, you can't. You have to have a sharp knife that's straight, no pegimus. But is the din menatoira you can use a saw? Ain't shechita loif menatoira. You don't have all a chomishil cheshchita by oif, it's only midirabana. Or you say, no, yet shechita loif menatoira. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, going to be the second perik. And it's a machlekes harishanim, had a paskin, the last rush in the end of Yuma. Quotes his rebbe, the man Rutmerk paskin, the ain't shechita loif menatoira.
Rashi says here that you could.
Even a knife, right? So right. In the Chumash, it only talks about shechita by behema v'chayin. Never says a word about oif. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's a machlokes hatanaim where the shechita loif is menatar midirabbanan. But this, you all agree, at least need nechira simanim and atzava. If the oif is going to die on its own, you're going to choke it to death. That for sure is nevela. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara interprets this line. The first line that says hakol shechta means all Jewish people can function as a shechit. Hakol shochtim. Here it says, all animals lend themselves to shechita, including oifos. So that's how the Gemara explains. Hakol shochtim. What does it mean? Hakol b'shechito. All animals lend themselves to shechita. Here that's 10 lines from the bottom of Tezayin and the base. Hakol b'shechito v'afilo oif. That's how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. The Mishnah means to say that you need shechita either menatar mid rabban. The Mishnah is not taking a stand whether menatar mid rabban, but for sure you need shechita by a knife. Then it said the next line in the Mishnah says ule olam shechtim. What do you mean? In every generation we allow you to shecht. Why? Why have thought after the Holocaust the laws of shechita don't apply? What does it mean? Olam shechtim. What does that mean? The olam shechtim. Frag the Gemara mantana. Whose opinion is that? What are you driving at? What are you trying to say? In every generation, we allow shechita. Zog di Gemara, there's a famous machloikis. It's going to start over here. A major machloikis. The laws of shechita, something changed in Hilchot Shechita when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael. The 40 years that they got Matan Torah at Har Sinai, they were prohibited from eating the velus from the day of Matan Torah. But something changed in Hilchot Shechita between the 40 years and the Midbar when they entered Eretz Yisrael. What changed exactly? Oh, so that's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva says like that. In the Midbar, they weren't allowed to eat an animal that Mesa Me'eleho. Let's say the animal died a natural death. The goyim wouldn't want to eat it either. But the bayas were not allowed to eat it. That's an avela. That's an avela. But if you take a saw, it's full of pigimas, take a saw and you cut off the head, that's nechira simanim and atzavar. So that in the midbar beside nechira was good. How can it be good? It's nevela. No, the Gemara says nechira sezu ishchitas. In the midbar that was acceptable. Until they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yeshua Benun, then the halacha changed. The din deraisa changed. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that it's going to change. Any novi who comes after Moshe Rabbeinu says the laws of the Torah change, he's a novi hasheker, and you give him a death penalty. But here Moshe Rabbeinu said the din is going to change. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, so then when you cross over in Eretz Yisrael, there you have to shech with all the chamish el cheshchita. In the midbar, you don't have to, you don't require the chamish el cheshchita. The chiras is zoi shchitasa. Just like we said by oif, according to the Tanoim and according to the Rishonim, ain't shchita loif men ha-toyra, but nivla saif toher bezosa ba-achila. So we say, the chiras is zoi shchitasa. If you do the chiras simanim men ha-tzavor, by oif it's enough. So Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, the whole 40 years in the midbar, they weren't allowed to eat nivlas chaya, nivlas behema. But if he did nechira, nechira says always chitas, so that was good. When they crossed over the Yarden, then it didn't change. Now you have to do chomish el cheshchita. But in the midbar also it says the shachat is ben abokar. Here it says vayikra perik aleph. The shachat here 10 lines from the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It says beferish shachat is ben abokar. You need shchita. Mar says yeah. In the midbar you need a chomish el cheshchita for kachim. But for chulin you did need. For achilas chulin was nechiras zoi shchitasa. And then it says when you cross over the yardim, amar toech labasar, kisav anavshech alech albasar, you want to eat flesh. Then it says v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, you should shech the chulin the same way I command you do in the midbar to shech the kachim. That's how the Ramban translates. After you cross over the yardim, the din changes. We no longer say nechiras zoi shchitasa. From now on, you need v'zavachta. You have to shech behemus and chayis kasher tzivisicha by karbonis. That's like karbonis all along from day number one. You need a v'shachat as ben habakar. Once we cross over the Yarden, so you need shchita all the chomish al cheshchita by behemah v'chaya as well. So that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. What changed? Something changed in hilchah shchita in the 40 years of the midbar. The chira simanim and atzava was enough. You didn't need all the chomish al cheshchita when they crossed over the Yarden. V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. He says, what are you talking about? Nechiras is zoi shchitasa. There never was such a din. Maybe by oifus. Maybe oifus, if you hold an shchita lef manatar. But behema v'chai, there never was such a din. So what changed in hilcha shchita? The whole 40 years in the midbar, they weren't permitted to eat besar taiva. If you wanted to have fleshiks, you had to bring in as a carbon. Unless you want to eat chayas. Chayas you can't bring as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, but if you want to eat the Sar Behema, you can only shecht it if you bring it as a carbon. And then when they crossed over the Yarden, then they were permitted to eat what we call Besar Taiva. What do you call it, Besar Taiva? Because the Pasuk says, when you cross over the Yarden and you live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, Kiyir Chakmim Chamakim, you live far away, Kisav Anavshech Alech Al Basar, and you'll have a desire to eat fleshiks, and you live too far away from the Beis HaMikdash. So then it says, "B'chalas nafshecha tizbach ve'achalta basar gezuntehid eat." So that's called besar taiva. So Rabbi Shmuel says, "Yeah, some major change occurred when they crossed over the Yarden, but the change was that in the midbar there was no heter to eat besar taiva. Whoever wanted to eat besar behema had to bring it as a korban shlamim and then eat it. If you wanted to eat chaya, that you can't be makir if there's a carbon, then the Gemara said that you could have shechted in the midbar also. But so each Tana disagrees with the other Tana. Rabbi Akiva says that Besar Taiva was always mutter. Where did you get such a wild idea that in the midbar Besar Taiva was asar, you're not allowed to eat any behem unless you bring it as a karm shalom? No such din. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Where did you get such a wild idea? Besar Nechira is mutter. Nechira is zui shchitas by oif. Maybe you say by behem of a chai, you never say Nechira is zui shchitas. So the Gemara says, maybe this expression in the Mishnah, Ula Oilam Shochtim, in all generations we allow Shchita, one might have thought that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we shouldn't allow Shchita. Why should you not allow Shchita? What does it mean? So first the Gemara says, Man Tana, whose opinion is the Mishnah going like? Amar Rabbi goes like Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanya, Ki Yachav Hashem Alkechaz Gevulcha Kashad Yibadach, when you move over the yard and cross over the yard into Teretz Yisrael, the Amarta Ochla Basar, you want to have flesh. Rabbi Shmuel Amelo, Ba Kasvel Alahat Alehem Besar Taiva. If you want to eat flesh, Ishech Shchitas Chulin, Shebetchila in the 40 years of the Midbar Nesalehem Besar Taiva. They weren't allowed to eat. If they wanted to have flesh, they had to bring in as the Korb Mishlamin and eat it Bedusha V'Tahara Mishnich Nesula Oretz Utalehem Besar Taiva. Only after they crossed over the Yarden. Now, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jewish people went into Golus, Yochol, one may mistakenly think, Yachzeru li Yisuron Harisha, maybe we should go back to the original state, that Besar Taiva should be Osur, the Kach Shanin, and that's why the Mishnah tells us, Le'olam Shochtim, in every generation, even if you live in a generation after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you still may Shecht animals. Gemara says, why would I have had such a nonsensical havamina? Why would I have thought after the Churban Beis HaMikdash satay maskif lo Rav Yosef? It doesn't make sense. Highly oilam shochtim. He says it doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah. He's going to argue logically it doesn't make sense either. He says highly oilam shochtim. Of course you can shecht. You should say the oilam shochtim. You're telling me that one might have thought that besar taiba is chazal isurai. It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. It says a heter on shchita. Doesn't say a heter on achilas besar taiba behod. Atzveta kasha. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. In the Midbar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, in the Midbar, since they were close to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, everybody was all together. They weren't all Barba Kamfas Eretzel. They weren't all over. Everybody was traveling together. So because they were so close to the Mishkan, so you weren't allowed to eat flesh unless you brought it as a carb. When they crossed over the Yarden, that's all such break. All the Shvatim are all over the place. They can't expect everybody to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring carbonus after the Churban Abayis and what's a sprite? All over the world. They're in America and China and Japan. The Jews are all over. So the further away we are, so there's more support to say that Besar Taiva is mutter. How can you have a Havamina? And now, Achsha Misha Golub, Besar Taiva should be Osir. That's where Rabbi Yosef has V'oid, Meikora in the beginning, in the first 40 years. My time Itzer, why was Besar Taiva Osir, according to Rabbi Shmuel? Mishum, the Havam Mikrivila Mishkan. They were right around the corner from the Mishkan. So bring it as a shlomim. Will it be soft when they crossed over the Yarden? My time of Ishtura, why were they allowed? Why was it permissible to shep sataiva? The Habi Mircha Kimi Mishkan, they were far away. They were spread all over. Nu, the Koshken Hashta, the Achikul Hutfei. Now they were all over the whole globe. So how can you have a Havmina like that? So he says, Elam Rav Yosef, no, the Havmina is wrong. The Mishnah doesn't go within Rabbi Shimon, it goes within Rabbi Akiva. Elam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, when you live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, when you cross over the Yarden, the Jews will live all over Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, what does it mean? The 40 years in the Midbar, if the Maimon HaSinai, the first 40 years in the Midbar, they weren't allowed to eat Nevela, but Nechiras is always Chitasa. So Betchila, the first 40 years, who tell him besar Nechira? Nechira simanim anatzav, use a saw would have been acceptable. Mishenich nusula aretz after they entered Eretz Yisrael, nesalem besar Nechira. They're not allowed. You don't say Nechiras is always Chitas. Ve'achshav shegalu. Now that we went into Galus, Yochel, one might think, Yachzur leheter and harisha. Maybe you don't need Shchita anymore. Maybe you don't need Shchita. Maybe Nechira simanim should be good. And that's why the Mishnah says the Olam Shachtim Hilcha Shchita apply even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, what's the machlekes when my come with league? Rabbi Kiva Sover, the Sar Taiva was never Aser. They were always permitted to have Sar Taiva, all the 40 years in the Midbar. So what changed when they crossed over the Yarden? The first 40 years, Nechira Simonim, Nechira Sezui Shchitasoi, and after they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yishu Benon, you needed Hilcha Shchita Mamish. Rabbi Shmuel Sover, Fakir, beside Nechira Leishteri Klal, beside Nechira, you never said Nechira Sezui Shchitasoi, you always needed Shchita, you always needed proper Shchita. Okay, we'll learn that next time. We'll have to continue. Right, the first Mishnah. Yeah.
To the
objects. Yeah, the first time it says Hakol Shochtim, the first Mishnah goes on. All people are allowed to shech, chayru shech to be cotton. But then when the Mishnah repeats the same thing again, hakol shechtim vaita nachamal hakol shechtim. So the Gemara understood it goes on the animals. All animals are subject to the laws of shechita, including chickens, including oif. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to be a repeat, the same that it said in the first Mishnah. Yeah, and this week said where the Chumash says that Yosef charged the tax. At the end of December, since people are thinking about taxes, tax season. So it says that Yosef charged a tax, 20% tax, and the people kept however much money you earned, 80% of your profits you keep, and 20% you have to give to Paro. That's the American attitude. See, under the communists, because the government takes everything away, so no one had any interest in working hard. Whatever, you're going to work your head off, you're not going to make any money anyway. Everything goes to the government. So there was no incentive to do a hard work. But if you live in a country like America where the government doesn't charge so much tax, and if you'll be conscientious and energetic and you'll make more money and you'll only pay the government 20% tax, so you'll work your head off, you'll make, because 80% goes to you. What right does the government have to charge tax? So that's the klal. The Gemara says, din the machus dinah. A Jewish government, here the pasuk is talking about Paro Melech Mitzrayim. He has a right to charge chomesh. He takes 20% tax to the government. What about a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael? He has a right to pay to charge tax. So there's a famous run in the dorm that the guys in the yeshivas, they don't know the first 27 blot in the dorm. They don't know the last 50 blot in the dorm. They only know that run. And Daf Chav Ches, the Ran says, in the name of the Balei Tosfos, in Eretz Yisrael nobody has to pay tax. Why? What's that all about? So that the theory of taxation is based on rent. Paro Melech Mitzrayim owns the country. You want to live in my country? I'm a landlord. I own an apartment building. You want to move in? I charge you rent. You don't pay rent, so please leave the building. You live in the building without paying rent. You're a ganav. You're a gazlan. So Paro Melech Mitzrayim owns Mitzrayim. The Queen of England owns England, and the King of France owns France, and the Tsar of Russia owns Russia. Every president, it's not a democracy. Every king owns the country, the karka of the country. You want to live in my country? I charge you rent. How much is the rent? Income tax. Whatever I charge, that's in Eretz Yisrael. It says Kili Kol Haaretz. The land belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Doesn't belong to Netanyahu, doesn't belong to the British, didn't belong to the Turks, didn't belong to the Arabs. Eretz always belonging, always to the Rabbanu Shlom. And Rabbanu Shlom said, Kindalach, I want you all to live in Eretz Yisrael. So no ruler in Eretz Yisrael has a right to charge rent. So nobody has to pay any tax. That's the Shita. Huh? That's the Shita of the Balei Tosfos. That the Ran and the Darn quotes on the Balei Tosfos. You look in Shulchan Aruch, they allude to that, such an opinion. It's mentioned, but we don't accept that at all. Because in Sefer Shmuel, we have what's called Parshas HaMelech. Parshas HaMelech, when they requested of Shmuel HaNavi that they wanted to have a king. So Shmuel HaNavi said, you really want a king? Don't you know the evils of the king? King is going to charge taxes. He's going to make your children serve in the army. He's going to take your daughters as pilakshim. And he lists off a whole bunch of things that the king is going to do. And they that's what they want. So the Gemara has a machlokes in the second parak in Sanhedrin. That's called Parshas HaMelech. When Shmuel HaNavi gives the whole warning, he reads him the riot act and he tells him what all the evils of the king are. So the Gemara has a machlokes. Called Homa Parshas Melech. This is legitimate legal rights of the king. Melech Mutabo, Melech Asabo. So we pass Melech Mutabo. These are the legal rights of the king. So the pasuk is talking the king of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael has a right to levy taxes. That's what it says in the Chumash. Even the Goyishe king in Bavel has a right. Even the but the original din straight in the Navi, Parshas HaMelech says that even the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael also has a right to pay tax. So there is a discussion in Achrayim. All right, you mechuyev to pay the tax. What if it's a Goyish king and you don't pay the tax? So the Rambam says, "Hareiz a goyzel minas hamelach." You're cheating the Goyish melach. You're not paying him the tax that you're supposed to pay. So there's a din of gezel akum. I'm not allowed to stick my hand into the pocket of a nochri, not to take his property. Not permitted to take his property. What if I owe money to the nochri and I don't pay the debt? So that's a lower level. That's called havkos halva osay. I owe money to the nochri and I don't pay. So some achrayim say this is not the accepted opinion. Some achrayim say, if you don't pay your taxes, if you sign a statement, everything I filled out in the tax form is true, so you're telling a lie not to pay taxes. That's an isur sheker. You're cheating by giving a lie. But if you don't fill the tax form out, you just don't pay taxes. So there was a minority opinion. This never accepted law. It was a minority opinion. It's only half course al ba'asa, and if it's a goyish government, then that would be muta. But that doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Bizman hazeh, you live in a democracy. The money doesn't go to enrich Mr. Obama. Whatever salary he gets, that's because we elected him, and our congressman decided what salary he's entitled to, and our congressmen are getting salaries, and the mayor, and the governor, and the police, and everybody's getting their salary. And when we pay the taxes, we pay triple taxes. We pay federal tax and state tax and municipal tax. That's to cover the expenses. They pave the highway, they deliver the mail, they purify the water, they have parks, they have schools. You go Basaroyf, I don't need the schools, I need a yeshiva. But most of the people in New York don't need a yeshiva. They go Basaroyf. Whenever you have a shutfus in a corporation and there's a chiluk adeis, what direction to go, says in Shulchan Aruch, you go Basaroyf. The Vilna Gaon says, the pasuk says, Achram Lahatas, it goes on shutfim in a business. So when you have people live in the same community, and we live in three different communities. We live in a community. The municipal government takes care of certain things. State government takes care of other things. And the federal government takes care of other things. So we have to pay three levels of taxes because we're all considered shutfim together on all the three levels. On the municipal level, on the state level, and on the country, on the level of the whole country. So, and the government is just the secretary over here. The government, the money doesn't go to the government. Part of the money goes to pay the governor, the mayor, the president of the United States, the congressman, and so on. But the money goes for all of our expenses. So it's like a shutfus. All the people live together. Whoever doesn't pay tax, because there are so many people not paying tax, that's why my taxes are twice as high as they should have been. If everybody would be paying taxes, everyone's taxes would be lower. So if you're not paying taxes, you're not stealing from the government. You're stealing from me. Stealing from all the other shutfim. It's not hafkos halva asay. When you live in a democracy, so the taxes are not paid in order to enrich the king, in order to enrich the governor. Taxes are paid to cover the expenses of the shutfus. So whoever doesn't pay taxes is mamish a gazlan from all the other shutfim. They're stealing from the yidin, from the goyim is mam. But here the pasuk is talking about menas hamelach. The pasuk by nasach hamishis lepara. The para takes 20% income tax from everybody. That's the din of the malchus. So that could be based like the Ransa, based on rent, that the Eretz Mitzrayim belongs to Paro and he has the right to charge rent. But Bizman is that, it's a whole different idea.
And we're all taxed equally.
Yes.
The governments that taught us, what we went through.
Yes.
They cheated us, we want to cheat them. But
yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Dr. Freilich is sitting Shiva for his sister. Right? Had a sister who died from
California.
Cancer.
I heard about that. He's sitting
Away. So he's sitting Shiva. They told him his mother's his mother doesn't know. My mother has Alzheimer's. He's sitting Shiva.